Blog Talk Radio.
This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Good afternoon. This is your co-host, Doris H. Dancy. My co-host, Minister Barbara Dudley, is not by my side today, but we have revamped our program so she will be able to join me starting next month. So today I welcome you to the Words of Hope Ministries radio broadcast, where our mission is to speak words of hope to all who have ears to hear. We pray that the words that we speak, the faith that we profess, and the information that we present will empower you to exercise your faith in God to be all that you can be using those gifts that He has placed in your hands. We invite you to join us as we embrace Psalm 31:24. Be of good courage, and He will strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Our discussion today, I believe, is an extremely important one because it focuses on our children and how all of us can help them actualize their goals and dreams. We're going to talk about what each of us can do to help students realize the significance of education. And our focus will be on how to help them get into a good college, get college scholarships, and why community colleges are so essential to that effort. We are honored today to have as our guest Dr. Deborah Wright, who is the Vice President for Workforce Development at Thomas Nelson Community College here in Hampton, Virginia. We're going to spend the hour attempting to help our parents and members of the community realize how vital it is to our children's success that we all play a part in helping kids see the importance of planning early for college. And we also want to emphasize the important role our children play in their own success. Here at Words of Hope, we truly believe that it is crucial that we all become involved in helping our youth. Senator David Vitter says, "I continue to believe that if children are given the necessary tools to succeed, they will succeed beyond their wildest dreams." And Albert Einstein, the physicist, says, "The world is a dangerous place not because of those who do evil, but because of those who look on and do nothing." So we don't want to be a part of not providing the necessary tools or sitting by doing nothing. Therefore, it is our hope that these words of hope will motivate all of us to continue lifting up our children and helping them find the path to successful living. So let's get started by welcoming Dr. Deborah Wright to our program. Dr. Wright, welcome.
Thank you so much, Mrs. Dancy. I'm so happy to be able to spend this time with you and your listeners today.
Well, thank you again for so graciously agreeing to share your time and your expertise with us today. But before we get started with the details of our discussion on community colleges, would you be so kind as to just tell our listening audience a little something about yourself?
All right. I'd be happy to. I think I have to begin early on because God saw fit to make me the first of eight children.
Wow. To two
parents whose parents never went to college, but who themselves had opportunities to go to college only through the work of their parents and scholarship opportunities. And so their dream was for their eight children, one way or another, to be able to go. And we all have, in different ways, shapes, and forms, two of the eight by community college. And one of the eight being very slow starter and finally finishing at an extended learning opportunity and then going on and excelling in education. And then the others having various degrees of academic excellence. So I think we kind of represent a little bit of everybody in that. So it was a wonderful background. I found my way writing for newspapers by an opportunity in high school.
Wow.
When somebody said the newspapers want to write about young people, but nobody wants to write for them, would somebody in this journalism class be willing to do it? I was very shy. No one raised their hand, and I raised a finger, and I got picked. But I was so shy, and it was really the beginning of something. And then I went on from there and a degree later on in communication, mostly working for newspapers, then for national associations in Washington, D.C., became director of communications, took a chance, went out on my own, had a marketing company, and then decided I really loved education passionately and went back and got additional degrees and been in community college ever since because it's a passion of mine because it does so much that I didn't have available when I was that age.
And, you know, Dr. Wright, something you said I think is very important, and that is there was that one teacher who asked that one question that got you started on this road. And so I want all of our teachers and all of our parents and members of the community to know that sometimes it's just a word of encouragement or a request, anything to help our children begin to find their way. So we all have a part to play in the success of our children. Let's talk a little bit about those building blocks to success. Other than what you've already told us, what would you say are the most important contributors to your own success?
Oh, without a doubt, you spoke about the teachers, and everyone I have spoken to has talked about two things in their success. And I teach leadership programs across the country and have for about 15 years and for different groups of people. But these are two common denominators in this success of people who are leaders in business, in medicine, in education. And they said that there was a teacher who said something to them. Why is a teacher so important? Well, because it's not your parents, and you expect your parents to say wonderful things about you and tell you you're great when you're maybe not so good. And so each of them talked about a teacher who one day said something. And until you pointed that out, I didn't realize how significant that was in my own life. But I do recall that perhaps 2 months before this happened, an English instructor said to me, "Deborah, do you know that you are a very good writer?" And nobody had ever said anything like that to me. Nobody had taken me aside and ever said a word to me. And I kind of led a very cloistered life because helping out at home with a large family, you've got a lot on your plate. Mm-hmm. So,
especially being the oldest.
My mother always said, well, God had the foresight to have me first. My name, Deborah, in the Bible means the bee, the busy bee, the doer. Mm-hmm. And I think that God helped name me that busy bee.
Well, I think so. And I think you've also helped us point out to our listeners how important it is to make a connection with our children, to not dismiss yourself, because all of us, we've all been given skills and talents by Almighty God. So we have something that we can offer to another person. So when you see a child, it's just so important. If you do nothing but encourage the child or help give them some kind of encouragement or instruction or something that makes a connection with them, because you don't have any idea how far that will go. But that's very interesting. And I think,
parents were the others. The second part of that was every one of these leaders then pointed to their parents, one or the other or both. And I'd have to say that's true of me as well. My mother loved learning. And it was difficult for her because she wasn't born to a family that didn't have English as a first language, and she struggled in that time. And yet it was the commitment that despite any hurdle, they were going to be successful. And their own mother encouraged them. Their own father encouraged them and did whatever they could. So my mother brought that to her situation. My father's father was killed when he was 10 years old. He had to go to work and bring money in with his mother, who became a nurse. And he worked ever since that day, but was determined that he could do it and his mother was right there giving him that encouragement. And I think parents can encourage in different ways. Listening is a huge encouragement. Validating ideas, the imagination of kids. But I'm listening to Colin Powell, you know, wonderful man, wonderful leader of our armed forces and a wonderful Secretary of State. And he was asked in a television interview, you are said by people, all walks of life, both parties, to be one of the world's greatest visionaries, leaders, and thinkers. And you have a courage that to do anything, to take on anything, if it's the right thing to do. Is there anything you're afraid of? And he started laughing, and he said, yes, there's one thing I'm afraid of. And she's 5 feet tall on her toes, and she's my mother.
Yeah, I think we could all attest to that.
That's a frightening.
And, you know, another thing that you said that's so important is to be determined. You know, you said those parents were determined to see their children successful. And I think sometimes in our society today, our parents may not be as determined because they think that they can't get kids to do what they want them to do. So they don't push as hard. Like you're saying with Colin Powell, he was afraid of his mother. I mean, I'm sure he wasn't really afraid, but he had that respect for her. So we have to teach our children to have respect for our adults and in the community and our parents and all of that so that they can require them to do some things. Sometimes even teachers have a hard time requiring them to do something because they feel like, well, I'm raising myself or, you know, nobody tells me what to do. Or they don't respect authority many times. So that word of being determined, I think, is so important for our listeners to know that you don't let them get off just because they say no the first time or just because it looks like they don't want to do something. Children do want to learn.
They really do. So. He said he was not a good student, and he said he struggled in school, which is hard to believe that anyone that brilliant struggled in school. But he did, and she just stuck with him and stayed on him. And when he was ready to put up a fight, she'd cross her arms, and she frowned, and he shrunk to about a foot tall and went and did what she wanted. And I think that well, you were talking a moment ago about the word encouragement, and I think that is the golden word. As you were talking about how important that is, I looked up, and there's a little phrase from K-Love that I have pasted above my computer on the wall in front of me, another God incident. It says, and you were talking about using your gifts, if your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness, do it gladly. And I think parents have to do all of those things to encourage their children, to be generous with their time with them, to take their role seriously as leader and model the behavior. If they want their children to listen, it kind of starts with the example of listening, which is sometimes hard. And then finally in showing kindness and demonstrating that regardless of the situation.
And that quote tells us that we all have something that we can give. So whatever that something is that you have to give, give that. So, you know, just finding what works in your life and for your children is very important. And I want our listeners to get that point. Let me ask you this question. In our world today, there are just so many things going on. And sometimes our kids get caught up in the right things, and sometimes they get caught up in the wrong things. What can you suggest? Like, let me give you an example, like bullying, or they may be group leaders, or they may, you know, be a leader in their church, or they may just harass people. They could be doing so many different things. What can you suggest that can be done to get the average child to understand that what he's doing right now, in his life right now, will be reflective in his future, because that's so important for them to understand.
Oh, I'm so glad you brought that up, Mrs. Dancy. This is a very difficult concept, I think, for young people to understand. And I'll share with you one thing I used to use with kids who actually did go the wrong way and ended up in alcohol and drug recovery programs. And years ago, my husband and I worked very closely with these groups. And it was very helpful when I broke it down into two things. And I said, every choice you make is either an aim or a dim. And, of course, they're questioning that. What does that mean? An aim sharpens your sights. It makes you focus in on what is really important. A dim, on the other hand, blurs your vision, so you lose sight of what is important. If every choice you make, you can put within that framework of where do you want to go, what do you really want to be, and will this action, this decision, this friendship, this activity ultimately get me good or not good? So then young people begin identifying for me what are the aims. And they talk about, well, an aim is finding out what you're good at and trying to find ways to do it. Absolutely right. And there are so many ways we can start with that that we can talk about in a minute. But ways to be exposed to new careers, new tools, new experiences and travel, new cultures, ways to do that living even in a community on the peninsula. And aim, you're having your faith, knowing you have a spiritual life and protecting it and investing time in it. That is an aim. And AIM is short for an accelerated integrity multiplier, meaning it just accelerates you to achieve that dream. Then the DIMs are the diminished integrity multipliers. So DIMs blur your vision. And those are things like you were talking about. Being part of a bullying group is a really good example, because people who need others in order to be taller and stand on somebody else and make them smaller to grow bigger, ultimately grow smaller in the eyes of the world. And they have to continually be on the watch around them because there's nobody there wanting to lift them up. Mm-hmm. So bullying is a dim. It takes away from you ultimately, loses the support of the people you'll really need in the future, and takes away your opportunity to really be rewarded by helping others. So
let me add something right there. Let me add something before you go on about bullying, because I want our children to know that when you bully, you don't really know the impact that you're having on somebody else. So if that impact ends up being devastating, for example, if they end up committing suicide or doing something hurtful to themselves, then you are ultimately responsible for that, and you have to live the rest of your life with that burden. So whatever those DIMs are that you're talking about, Dr. Wright, many of them impact another person to a point where they can't get out from under the mistakes that they've made within their own consciousness. So I really like what you're saying. So I didn't want to interrupt you, but I wanted to make that point.
Absolutely. Things like getting high, getting stoned, alcohol, drugs, these are DIMs. They're not only diminishing your ability to focus on what's important, it looks like it's a little short-term pleasure. It might open a door to what you think you need to be popular, but ultimately it restricts you. I worked with so many young people who had struggled for years to undo a couple of bad decisions that changed their path. And it is one of the most difficult concepts is that a bad decision can affect you for your whole life. Even getting into a car that can go fast in an open road and deciding to accelerate that one moment, not realizing that a young kid on a tricycle is racing down that driveway to that completely empty road at exactly that time. You can never take that back. And so always to be aware in every decision that choices always come with consequences. If they're good choices, there'll be good consequences.
And I think what you're saying, too, is for our parents to help our kids understand that they need to think beyond the moment.
Yes.
Because at that moment, when somebody is handing you a drug or somebody's handing you a glass of alcohol or you're deciding to speed down that road, that moment, that's the moment that you have to think beyond that moment. And I know that that's hard for kids to grasp, but I think that the more parents say that and the more that they demonstrate that within their own lives, the more our children will be able to see that. Because if they don't think beyond the moment, then many times they won't get to where you are with the community college or with the college, the four-year college, or moving on to have a great career. So I think that just those acronyms, that AIM and DIM, would be something that our parents could hold on to. AIM, the AIM sharpens and the DIM blurs the vision. So I think that's something that they can grasp hold of and reiterate to their children.
And you see your children getting down on themselves a lot too. And I want to talk to this because self-talk is often talk we can't hear in our children's heads. And I didn't know until my daughters were in their mid-20s that they had both entertained thoughts of suicide when they were younger. And I had no idea any of this was going on. Of course, their dad became very ill, and that didn't help at all. And ultimately, he passed away. But I had no knowledge of what they were going through because I didn't hear the self-talk. And the self-talk was that they were too fat, they were unpopular, no one would ever like them. And self-talk is a DIM. It's as bad as any poison that you can inject into your vein, because it's poison injected in your brain. And so,
is the self-talk always negative?
I think more so for girls. And I think this research came out around the number of girls who were secretly anorexic or bulimic. Girls are held up to an image that's physical, that boys don't have to contend with. And when you go through your stages of development, you know, the girl's body doesn't do everything it should along the way. And so there's a lot of this holding up to this false image of what perfect really should be. And I'm so glad for the programs now that are encouraging girls just to be who they are, because beauty is from the inside out. And the more you appreciate the gift you've been given in yourself, even though you don't think it's everything you want it to be, the more you'll be able to see the beauty in other people. And the world just becomes a better place to be.
A lot of what you've said leads to the idea that it does take a village to raise a child. And sometimes our kids listen to other people before they listen to parents. So all of us can take these suggestions that you're making and use them in our churches, in our community groups, in our schools, anywhere where we are in contact with children, to let them know, you know, those things that could be harmful to them and the things that might help them. One of the things that you talked about, I wanted to make a comment. You talked about friendships, and I think it's just important for our kids to know when they need to let a friendship go. You talked a little bit about that. I think that they have to, again, see beyond the moment. If somebody is constantly trying to put them down, bully them, tell them to do things that are not right, then those are friends that they have to let go. And sometimes that's very hard because maybe that person is a popular person or, you know, they always wanted to be a part of whatever that person was doing. But again, going back to your aim and your dim, you have to be able to sharpen your vision to see if that person is going to really be suitable in your life, if that person is going to help you move forward in your life.
I'm so glad you pointed that out because I was involved also in a program to help people coming out of a minimum security prison get back on the right road. And one of the things we learned early on is that they had to change their playgrounds and their playmates. They couldn't go back to the life they had. For every dim they replaced, they needed to find an aim to replace it with. So letting go of one friend, there's a gap there in time, and that friend will come back to fill it unless it's filled with something else.
Mm-hmm.
So to be intentional.
And they're always ready to take you in a negative direction.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why you need to make up your mind that you just want those people that are going to help you climb up in your life.
Mm-hmm.
What can the general public do to encourage middle school kids to prepare themselves for future success? And why is it important for them to begin early?
It's very important to begin early because increasingly research shows, and this was just reiterated in a leadership session at the Chamber of Commerce here, the Virginia Peninsula Chamber of Commerce, by a top executive from NASA, more research. Children make decisions in middle school that guide them later on in life. And if it's a strong vision or decision about what they want to be and how they want to live their life, even though they might not know the career, but how they want to be living their lives in the future and hang on to it, when all of the challenges come in high school, they can get through it. It's one of those aims. It's an integrity multiplier, an accelerated integrity multiplier, because if they can buy...
What do you mean by that? Integrity multiplier?
Okay, aim. And the reason I call it accelerated integrity multiplier is what an aim is more than just the value of that action. It has a positive effect on everything else. That's positive. So it's an accelerated multiplier.
Okay.
So if we go back to talking about sharpening your sights, if someone in middle school can sharpen their sights, can aim at a future and begin to describe what they want out of it, and this is where parents asking questions can be so valuable to the middle schooler. What do you really like out of what you see in life? Do you like travel? Do you want to see things? Do you want to experiment with new digital equipment or robots or visualization? Do you like being with other people and being part of a team doing something? Do you want to make a difference for other people? Do you want to work with something and see the result of it right away? Begin asking questions so that they begin to say, yeah, I like this. And then it's so important to reinforce that right away whenever they say something they think they would like, or catch them doing something that they find enjoyable and say, did you really like that? And they say, yes. And then saying, you know, when you decide on a future career, look for something that has that kind of experience. And you begin to connect the where they are with a vision of what they can be. The more you can connect them with that aim in middle school, the better. And there are new experiences being made available to middle schoolers. There are summer camps. We offer a number here at Thomas Nelson Community College that are open to middle schoolers and high schoolers.
Let me let you come back to that point because I don't want to lose this other point that you just made that is so powerful.
About camps.
So hold that thought just a minute. What you said was that you want the parents to talk to their children. And a lot of times today, we're allowing technology to take all of our children's time. So they come in and they have their phones and they have their iPads, they have their iPods, they have their earphones, and they have all of these things that take up their time and shut out the parent. So what you're saying is that it is so important for the parent to wrestle away some of that stuff for a moment, for a period of time, where they can actually sit down and talk with their children and find out, what is it that you really like to do? Who do you like to, what kinds of people do you like to be around? Do you like to do things alone? Do you like to work with a group? Or just what do you do? All of that demands that we talk to our children. So I wanted to make this very important point that our children will shut us out with technology if we continuously allow it. But sometimes we have to unplug them so that they can talk and we can find out and we can guide them. And as you were talking about parents talking to their children and asking them all these questions, I was just visualizing some children that I have seen with the earplugs in and the iPad and the iPhone, and they go from one thing to the next on the computer because there are all so many distractions in our world. So I wanted to make that point to our parents as you're listening to unplug your kids, even if it's just 20 minutes a day that they spend talking with you about things that they want to do in their lives is just extremely important. All right, so now I'll let you go on and make those other points of what other things they can get involved in, but I didn't want to lose that point.
Oh, Dan, see, I don't want you to lose it either. I've seen real success come from parents who have done that and have said, okay, you're 10 years old, you're too young to have your own cell phone, but here's a time when you can talk with your friends. We'll make it 7 to 7:30 after your homework is done, and you can call your friends and you can have that conversation, and that's your own time. Or your computer time, here is how much time you can have. You can do gaming on it. You can speak with me about the friends, and it's age appropriate. Each level is different. And some people might say that some parents are too conservative in this, but even though the children balked, and they will balk, when they go along with it, they'll feel a pride that they met the standard and got the reward. And with a reward, they get a little bit more of the opportunity to have a little more choice in the matter. So they're rewarded by more choices. And when they abuse a choice, it's taken away, pure and simple. And I would tell you that in watching my brothers and sisters with their children, I'm proud of every one of those nieces and nephews as I am my own children. And yet the choices were not easy ones for us to make as parents. And sometimes we felt we were the most unpopular people in the universe. But doing the right thing has a great payoff. I would like to say also for those parents, it doesn't matter whether your children's in public school, in private school, homeschooled, or in a special program. All of these things are important. It doesn't matter whether your children is challenged or especially gifted with brains and talent. It still applies. And that parents have a great window of opportunity, especially in middle school, to start laying down those parameters. Not to start when the kids are in high school. That's much too late.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they really don't, they shut you out pretty much of their lives by the time they get to high school. They try to do it in middle school, but you have a lot more control.
Mm-hmm.
But in high school, they have their jobs and they have their own little private friends, and it becomes much more difficult to get that time away from them. But I think I was always a high school teacher, and I've always said that high school children are just that. They are children. They're still children. So you should never allow them to take the reins from you as a parent.
Right.
You're always in control. You know, you are the parent. So a lot of times parents feel like as they're growing up and getting jobs and they're driving their own cars and all of this, that they don't have any control. But they do, because they are the parents. And more than likely, they're still helping them buy certain things. Maybe not everything now, but they're still helping them do a lot. They're living in their homes. That's what my mother used to say. This is my house. You know,
that's exactly
these
right.
are my rules. And so
exactly.
that's what they have to concentrate on. Are there any particular areas of concentration that parents should focus on to prepare their kids for college?
Oh, definitely. And starting early is important. Math is extremely important, and I'll say this again and again. Whether you learn math is more up to you as an individual, as a student, and the parent in their commitment to this than it is to the schools. And I'm sad to say that over a long period of time, math became less and less important. And I've seen the deleterious effects of this in community colleges around the country, where new science, technology, engineering, and math positions are coming available, but there aren't qualified workers in coming out of school in those majors. And those jobs pay from 50 to 100% more per hour than the non-STEM jobs. So to have more choices in the future, it's so important to get the math and get it right early on. I struggled with it, and I could not make sense of it. And I had a learning disability that I did not know about till my own daughter's was diagnosed, because I was high-functioning in that area. But it caused me to be able to constantly be reversing things. And then to learn how to do math was especially difficult for me. My mother spent hours with me every night, I would say between 1 and 3 hours, helping me understand math from elementary school going on. And finally, I guess beyond middle school, it began to click, but not in a way that I could ever become an engineer or a mathematician, but enough to get through, and was eventually able even to get through all the math classes in quantitative research for the doctoral program. And I did need a little help for that too, but math, very important early on, beginning in elementary, and getting whatever tutoring help is available for that. Some schools offer after-school programs for tutoring in math. Take advantage of them. Some colleges have student volunteers who want to be tutors, and they're doing it for community service. A lot of sororities will do that. Take advantage of those tutoring programs. Then the other is definitely your reading and your writing skills in English, very much needed in careers at multiple levels. And then finally, technology classes, wherever they can, take advantage of the opportunity to try technology, use it, learn on it. Many opportunities in middle school and high school. There are technology camps, and I started to talk about a couple. But there are also academies. There are also programs like FIRST Robotics. So,
how do they get into these programs?
The counselors know about them. So be intentional. Make an appointment with a school counselor and ask
them. Is that at
the
middle school and high school level?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And you have to ask, oh boy, is that a skill they can develop? One of the most important skills, as important as math or English or technology, is the skill to ask questions and to demonstrate how to ask questions as a parent, as a teacher, as a member of a church, demonstrate asking questions and lots of questions, that it's not a sign of a lack of intelligence, which kids feel it is. It's a sign of intelligence.
Great intelligence, I might add, because as a teacher, one of the skills that you really have to hone is asking questions, because in order to get the right answers, you've got to know how to ask the right questions. So that's really a powerful skill. And I wanted to add one other thing to something you had said. Well, two things. First of all, I was a horrible math student, and it was not until I had my own child, Tara, that I began to kind of figure out the puzzle of math. I never could understand at first. How can an alphabet be a number? You know, it's like that didn't make sense to me. So I struggled with math for a long time. But I wanted to say something about language, because our kids are so prone to use slang. And one of my rules is that if you cannot take your slang language and put it into a credible, grammatically correct sentence, then you should not use it. Because you have to be able to make the switch. When you're with your friends and you're just having a good time, if you want to use your slang language, that's absolutely fine. But when you are in a professional arena, when you're at school, or you're talking with somebody who's really trying to determine if you're an intelligent person or not, you have to be able to make a switch and use the grammatically correct language. So I want parents to be aware of that, that when kids are using a lot of slang, and now text messaging and incorrect spellings and all of that kind of thing, they have to be able to make the switch, because those spellings and those shortcuts are not acceptable on standardized tests, or they're not acceptable maybe in the job market where the boss is really trying to find out, if you're an engineer, what is your idea? You've got to be able to express that idea in clear language. So I wanted to make those points.
And who thinks about language in that way, as being an aim or a dim? But the right language in the right situation is an aim. Not in the right situation is a dim.
It's a dim, exactly. So,
Ms. Dancy, I want to go back to something you just said a moment ago about asking questions and how important that is. Certainly, in school, in college, the ability to ask questions becomes imperative in your success as a student, because critical thinking is part of the basis for being able to successfully complete any course at the college level and increasingly at the high school level. So developing the ability to ask good questions and teaching your children that questions are a sign of intelligence. Good questions, a sign of great intelligence. There's a new book out by John Maxwell, and very popular among leadership in industry and business and government and colleges and universities right now. It's called Good Leaders Ask Great Questions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the basis of it, is that you can go anywhere you want in life, but it begins with your ability to get the right information, and that leads to whether you've asked the right people the right questions.
And I want our parents to really hear that, because you've already talked about how important it is for them to talk with their kids and ask them the right questions. What kinds of job would you like? Do you want to work alone? Do you want to work with other people? Do you want to travel? You have to be able to ask the right questions and get them involved. So our parents need to really hone that skill of asking just the right questions, so that they can get the information they need in order to help guide their kids. So that's just extremely important.
And there are games you can play in the car with young kids and older kids, and games you can play when you're on your summer vacation or just at a park for the day, or in the evening roasting marshmallows together, and you play a game called Ask Me a Question. And it kind of teaches them how to ask each other questions. And you can say, okay, ask me any question. And the kids will come out with some outrageous questions, and you can say that's not appropriate if it is, or you can answer it. And it begins to teach them how to do this.
Dr. Wright, why has there been so much attention given recently to community colleges by President Obama, by Congress, by the governors, and why is it a connection to community so important in gaining a college education?
What a great question. Increasingly, the technology has changed occupations in the United States. With the global marketplace, companies had to compete with companies all over the world when the cost of our labor was many times more. So in order, after we lost a lot of market and a lot of jobs, they say, went overseas, what that really means is the companies here lost the contracts, and eventually a lot of them went out of business, and a lot of companies where the labor market was cheap went overseas and did business, or the overseas businesses imported the products to the United States. And the result was people were choosing products that were less expensive at the store but made outside of the country. So our companies began to go into technology and use technology. One example, Canon produces cameras and copiers, digital equipment, and Canon has a major facility here near Thomas Nelson, and that technology that they brought in beginning in 2008, one robot does the work of what 50 people used to do. So and that, what does that mean for that technician? Very high wages. But what does that technician have to know to do? Not just operate the equipment, but how to repair it, how to talk with the customer, how to troubleshoot, how to talk with the engineer, the designer. All of those require strong applied competencies, and those are very good paying jobs. So why is the president talking about this? Because we need to bring all of our workforce at all ages into a knowledge of these new technologies that are part of every occupation and make it easier for people to do the work that several people used to do, but make it affordable to our own people in this country and to those overseas. So at the community college, we have a lot of occupations that have come about working with the business and industries in our area. And so community colleges have created programs, workforce training programs to get people rapidly into jobs, and occupational technical programs where people after 6 months, a year, or two-year degree go right to work in a good-paying job, or where they can transfer and go on to a university in a different program and end up with a degree with a technology in high demand.
And really what you're saying, too, is those people who have been in other careers can reinvent themselves and take courses to get into these new fields of study.
Exactly.
To make more money than what they're doing now. And you've also answered why it's vital for our kids to take education seriously, because we're living in a global society where all the jobs don't have to be jobs given to kids in the United States. They can be given to almost anybody in the world.
That's
so
right.
So they're competing not against just people in the country, but they're now competing with people all over the world. And
the reason community colleges have helped this is a community college or its campus is usually within 60 miles of the majority of residents of the United States. So it's accessible because it's close by. They're very affordable, and the education at a community college is usually half or less than the same education at a university for just the class itself, not counting the cost of the housing. And then in addition to that, there are usually opportunities in the community college to have work experience as part of your training or education and actually start through an internship or a co-op to experiment with that career while you're still at the college. And then because it's so affordable, you can you can go back and add on other credentials or degrees and keep adding to them. I heard something that was really interesting, Mrs. Dancy. Did you know that the average graduate of high school today will have 6 careers before they retire, 5 of which have not been invented yet?
I believe that, just based on what you've just said about all of these different things that are happening. Technology is moving so fast that you have to keep revamping and reinventing yourself to keep up with that job market. Let me just say that our time is getting a little short. We only have about 9 minutes left, and I don't want to leave without giving you an opportunity to talk specifically about Thomas Nelson Community College and what opportunities you all are offering to our kids and
okay.
our parents.
There are many, and it'll probably help, first of all, to talk about the Comprehensive Community College, a vision that was created in the 1940s and has been funded gradually over time, is that a community college is 3 legs. One leg is what we used to think of as a junior college, the first 2 years, and then you transfer to a university. And Thomas Nelson does that extremely well. And our students do very well as juniors at universities in studies that have compared their performance with students who grew up at those universities. Now, part of the reason is because the class size is small at a community college and because the college is more focused on student success at the local community college level than at a university. So there are more services and more help for students that are facing barriers or challenges at the community college. It's just if the dollars were the same, it would make very much more sense to have classes where you can succeed, and if you need help, it's right there to help you succeed. The second leg is really the leg that we talk about as the occupational technical leg, and those are certificates, diplomas, and degree programs at the community college that lead right to work. They are put together in partnership with a local business and industry and lead right to jobs in those industries where the student can live and work in the same place. And they're usually very good-paying jobs because the colleges are watching the labor market. Thomas Nelson is very proud. We have a long history. In fact, the college is almost 50 years old. We'll celebrate our 50th anniversary in 2017, and for almost as many years, we have had partnerships with business and industry. So we're one of the few in the United States that can say that almost everything we've done in occupational technical since our very existence has been a partnership with business and industry. So those programs are advised by advisory committees of people in the business and industry. So again, another advantage to a community college. The third area is workforce development. And in Virginia, in the year 2000, that became a formal part of the mission of a community college. And that is short-term accelerated training leading right to a job. And we've done several of these, have received some state and national award recognition for these programs. And one of the ones we just finished recently in partnership with 4 other community colleges with the shipyard in 4 areas. The students came in after graduating high school or coming back after losing a job or leaving the military or just having to work multiple jobs and not find one that can pay them a decent wage and benefits. The students who came into those programs pre-screened by the shipyard into 1 of 4 programs, then came to work with us. They had to pay $250, and they appeared in the trades. These were 4 jobs for welders, electricians, painters, and machinists. And they came in, clocked in, at 7:30 in the morning with their personal protective gear on, They'd read something, apply it immediately to something that it was exactly like what they would see on the job at Newport News Shipbuilding, went back, experimented with other students to see if their team was right with it, evaluated by the instructor. Often Newport News Shipbuilding came to visit. At the end of 2 to 3 weeks, if they completed their classes and passed their background check, they started in $32,000 a year jobs with full benefits after 2 to 3 weeks of training with a career pathway. So that's workforce training. And many of our high school students, I think studies show about half of them, are applied thinkers and learners. And they really want those occupational technical certificates or the short-term workforce training and welding or whatever, that it leads right away to a good paying job with benefits.
And, you know, everything that you've just said shows our kids how to make money, how to sustain themselves, how to have a good career. And you talked about your junior college with the small classes, and that's so important because when you're in a small class, then you're not so much afraid or intimidated to ask questions or to go back and ask the teacher later after the class is over for extra help. You talked about the focus on success and the lower cost. All of those things begin, you know, help our kids right out of high school. And then you talked about your occupational technical programs that lead directly to a job, directly to a career, really. That is powerful. And the fact that you said you're celebrating 50 years of success tells you that Thomas Nelson really knows what it's doing. And I love the workforce development idea of a short-term accelerated program where you can just learn something. You're talking about the shipyard would come over and kind of monitor a little bit what's going on to make sure that it fits with what their requirements are. So there are lots of benefits in our community for our children and even for our parents. I think as they've listened to you talk today, they can see places where they can also improve themselves.
Yes, and then two last things I'd like everyone to know about the camps. Always watch for summer camps. Thomas Nelson is offering 3 this summer, one using Connects, one on rapid manufacturing prototyping where the teams actually invent something and design a business plan and go before like a murder board or something. What would you call that shark tank? And they add the winning team get $100 each gift certificate, and they present to a large group, including their parents. And then another
is this
camp
high school?
Start. Yes,
is this
is middle school and high school. And,
middle and high school, okay.
Yes, and we'll be starting a new one this year in unmanned aeronautical vehicles, where you can design it, fly it, and experiment with it at the end. And then the college is going to build an advanced integrated manufacturing center, and we'll have robotics in it and the new rapid prototyping. It'll be an exciting place where students who want to go on to the university in engineering, students who want to go right into being a technician and be hired right away, and those military coming out that want to, in 6 months or less, go into a very good paying job, will all be able to get that at that center.
How can the parents get more information about the camps?
They are on the Thomas Nelson website.
Okay.
And you can do your search for summer camps.
We only have 90 seconds, so can you tell us what that website is?
Yes, it's www.TNCC, short for Thomas Nelson Community College, .edu.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you, Dr. Wright, for so a wealth, really, of information that I think our community can use. We really appreciate your coming and talking with us, and I'll look to see if we have questions from our community or from anybody on the Internet who might want to know more information. You can log into my website, www.dorishdancy.com. And let me know that you would like to have more information, and maybe we can have Dr. Wright back again, or you can go to the Thomas Nelson website, www.tncc.edu, to get additional information. Thank you so much, Dr. Wright.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming.
Mrs. Darcy.
Okay. And we will sign off by saying I hope that all of you got something important from all that has been said and done. And always look forward.
Bye-bye.